you, beginning 2018, are in a drought. And it might be a spiritual drought. Your walk with the Lord might not be where it should be. It could be a physical drought. There could be sickness that you're dealing with. It could be a financial drought that you're facing. All right? And we are going to endeavor by the Spirit of God to help you come out of it. Anybody interested in hearing about that? Yes. All right, not enough. So we'll, okay. What is the key? What is the key to getting out of the situation? Okay, I'm going to give you the key straight off the top, right out the bat. Number one, you have to hear the voice of God. You've got to receive His instructions. You've got to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, and then you have to follow His plan. You've got to follow His instructions. All right. So let's get back to the reading of the book. Then, verse 2, then the Lord said to Elijah, go to the east and hide. Now, we'll get back to that word hide later on, maybe in the middle of the sermon. But just remember that word. By the Cherith Brook, near where it enters the Jordan River, and drink from the brook and eat what the ravens bring you. Say what? This can't be God I'm hearing, right? For I have commanded them to bring you food. Huh. Well, where are they going to get the food in the drought? They were getting it at the king's palace where the 850 false prophets were eating. God has a way of taking the devil's stuff and bringing it to you. There you go. Amen. Amen? Amen? You see, if you had won the 550 million lotto, you would have been buying us a new church. Yes. Right? You would have been buying us a new church. Don't look so pious like I didn't even take a ticket. Liar, liar. Anyway, God can take the devil's stuff and use it for His kingdom. Once we sanctify it, that money is good in Jesus' name. Good to go, right? Well, this is what's going on here. God has prepared a place of supernatural provision for Elijah. Now, this place often combines natural with super. See, anything God does is supernatural. Because He is supernatural. He's not in the natural. So when God is involved, there's always the supernatural. But why do I say that? Because, you see, the thing that was natural was the water that was flowing at this brook. God said, go to the natural, and I will provide the supernatural. How many of you think that birds bringing bread and meat is like crazy out there, supernatural? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, supernatural. So the natural was, I'm going to send you to a place where there is water. This is the natural thing. And then I'm also going to cover that with a supernatural. There's going to be a combination of things. Now, as we go through these teachings, you'll see that this happens a lot. So the first thing that's got to happen is that Elijah has to go there. The provision of God was in a particular place. If he had stayed where he was, the birds would have gone to the Brook Cherith, and he would have missed out. And so you've got to be very careful when God tells you to go somewhere as part of His plan that you say, all right, Lord, I'll follow. And, you know, that does need faith. It does need faith. You think just because you hear God, just because you hear God, that you'll automatically have the faith to obey. If that would be true, then everybody would be tithing. Oh, wait, it also requires obedience. Mm. So even though God says something, it also requires obedience to follow through. It's faith and it's obedience. And you see, people who are stuck in their drought probably heard God, but reasoned themselves out of it. When he says, go to the brook, drink there, and I'm going to send the birds to feed you, he said, yeah, not so much. I obviously didn't hear God. Well, it's, you know, sometimes God doesn't come up with such strange instructions. The instruction might be, find a job. Okay, it could be just as simple as that. And while you're lying in bed, you say, I rebuke you. Get thee behind me. You know? But you know what? Thank God he doesn't leave us where he found us. Turn and tell your neighbor, thank God he doesn't leave me where he found me. So this deliverance that I'm talking about, this place that I'm talking about, is both a physical thing and a spiritual thing. Like I said, it could be a physical thing, like it could be your work or no work or your place of business. It could be a physical thing, and God could be saying, I want to move you. He could be saying that. He could be saying, this is where I want you, so don't think about moving. So important that you hear God. Then the other thing is, it is a spiritual thing. When God deals with you, there's always a combination of spiritual. Always is. Because God is a spirit being. He wants to deal with you in your spirit. So he's always going to direct you first in the spirit. And why do I say it's a spiritual thing? Because your walk with the Lord is so critical to you getting out of the place that you're stuck in. You know what? If you were in a bad place spiritually and you had won the 550 million, it would have just poured fuel on your fire. It wouldn't have helped you move towards God. It might have sent you the other direction. Because if you were not able to live for God without anything, I can promise you, if you load a couple of million on that, you will just do more of the same that you're doing right now. So spiritually is the most important thing, that you've got to get your walk with God right. So that if that's right, that is the center of everything, so that when God does move in your life, he starts to bring these blessings in your life, that you're stable and you're centered and you're following God. See that? All right. So it is both physical and it is also spiritual. And in order for God to bring this about, remember, he said to Elijah, go there, which means there's change coming. Everybody say there's change coming. We have to be open to change. If we keep doing what we're doing, we'll keep get what we're getting. So we have to change what we're doing to get something else. So you have to be open to change unless you're satisfied with the status quo. Now, I can tell you now, I'm never satisfied with the status quo. I always want to do more, go more, get more, do more for God. I mean, I'm never happy with my spiritual condition. It's the worst thing about me. It's the worst thing about me is that I live, don't tell anybody, but I live in like a condemnation thing because I want to get further. I want to get more. I always complain to God. I see it in your book, and I want more. I want more of what I see in your book. I'm not happy. Anybody else there? Okay, so, all right. Now, here's the thing. Don't get cozy in your comfort because change is uncomfortable. Yeah? It's always uncomfortable. Change is never comfortable. And you need to be open for this change because God is going to take you to a place you've never been. He's going to provide for you in a supernatural way, a supernatural supply. And also, he's going to take you to a place of his presence that surpasses knowledge. Here's a thought. Question. Is it possible that God brought you to the promised church to actually provide both of these for you, both spiritually and physically? That this is supposed to be the watering hole. You know that I believe with all of my heart, you wouldn't be here this morning if God didn't want you here to hear him speaking through me to you about the change he wants to bring in your life and the supernatural provision he wants to provide for you in 2018 and the spiritual growth he wants you to have and the physical help, financially and otherwise, that he wants you to have, that's why you're here. Yeah. Now, listen, there is a devil, and Satan will try to prevent you from entering God's place of provision. Oh, yeah. Listen, he's gonna do his best to convince you not to listen to God. Go to the brook, you go. Do what? No, I don't think so much. He's going to try and convince you not to listen to God. And furthermore, he's going to try and convince you not to listen to the pastor God gave you. Unless God didn't give me to you. In which case, it doesn't matter. Did I say that out loud? I was just thinking that. I wasn't supposed to say that. But if I'm the pastor God gave you, Satan will try to convince you. Don't listen to that man. Oh, yeah. See, he's going to try and convince you, honestly, that if you obey the word of God, that you're going to become the loser. Because what's going to happen, fun is going to be taken out of your life. Relationships are going to be taken out of your life. You might even lose your career. You might even lose your job if you listen to and obey the word of God. He was able to do that to Eve. And remember, Adam and Eve only knew God. See? So don't underestimate Satan's persuasive powers. But watch this. Watch this. He didn't show up when God was with him. He waited till this little sheep was alone. And then he came and said, "Hath God said?" You like my devil voice? I practiced that all week, but it didn't really come out like I practiced. It was better at home. "Hath God said?" Listen, little sheep. When you stay away from the flock, and you stay away from church, and you stay away from the fellowship, you are vulnerable to the voice of the devil. And he's going to pick you up when you're out there alone and you have nobody to turn to, nobody to ask for help, and nobody to pray with you. You think you can make it on your own? No, 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 no. Listen, tumbleweed Christians don't survive. No root, no fruit. Get blown over by the wind, broken, away you go. In and out of church. You got to settle down, put some roots down. Okay? Tumbleweed Christians don't produce. I'm just saying that because I love you. You see, back in the garden, when God said to Adam, "Don't eat this tree. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." You know, he wasn't trying to, withhold from Adam like the devil told him. He's trying to withhold from him. He was actually trying to protect him. Do you know that? You see, parents do the same thing. How many parents in the house? Okay. How many parents with children living at home that are under 40? Yay. I'm free from that. 18 months ago. Woohoo! Amen. Well, parents, you tell your children, don't drink and drive. Don't drive and text. Don't hang out with the wrong crowd. You're trying to steal their fun, rain on their parade? You're saying it because you know it's important. This is good for them. It's going to protect them. I do the same thing as the pastor when I preach and teach to you. I tell you this, come out, come in from the rain. You know, come in, sit in the Word, get the Word, feed yourself, come to the P3, go to Bible college, get in the life groups. Why am I saying that? It's not for my own health. It's for your health because I love you. I want to protect you. I want to make sure that you're cared for. And I know that it's good for you. Right. All right. Everybody shout increase.
Increase.
Amen. Psalm 37:23. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. He directs our steps. We're godly, we're righteous, he's directing our steps. In fact, he delights in every detail of our lives. If you like hiking, if you like sport, if you like doing whatever, God delights in it. He's not mad at you because you play golf or because you rode motorcycles in the mountains or whatever else you do. He doesn't care. He's with you, right? He's right there. He's enjoying it with you. I mean, he made it, so you could enjoy it. Why would God make something for us to enjoy and he sits back and says, "I hate it when they do that"? No. So he every detail of your life is important to him and he likes it. So he has been trying to guide you to a place of provision. He is not the one resisting your provision. He's the one trying to get you to a place where he can provide for you all the time. This is what he's about. So listen with your heart, not your head. Because it's not about reason, it's about revelation. You can reason yourself out of the blessings of God very quickly. You can reason yourself out, well, I don't think coming to pray before church is that important. Who said? Who said? Jesus prayed more than all of the apostles. In fact, they even fell asleep while he was praying. He said, couldn't you even just wait with me for an hour? Jesus prayed through the night many times. And this is God in the flesh. If it was important enough for Jesus to pray, finish the sentence for me. So don't be spoken out of 15 minutes of prayer prior to service. Everybody say 15 minutes.
15.
Say eternity.
Eternity.
Those 15 minutes will affect eternity. You want to affect eternity? 15 minutes. Don't roll over or have a second cup of coffee. Come to prayer meeting. See, I'm preaching much better than you shouting amen. You know that? So hearing and following the leading of the Holy Spirit is the difference between failure and success. That's the difference right there. Hearing and following the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Amen. Are sons of God. That's how we know. We know we're a son of God if we are led by the Spirit of God. And we hear his voice and we follow. Now, this place that Elijah was sent to, his place of provision was also a place of protection. Remember God said to him, go and hide there. Remember that? I told you to remember that word, hide. He told him to go hide. He didn't say, lay out your deck chair, put the luncheon on, get the glasses, do the whole thing, turn up the music, Caleb, whatever. Just lie out there. No, no. He said, hide. Hide. Because why? Because he told Ahab, I am going to bring the drought on you. Ahab was sending his soldiers to find the boy. We're going to kill you. You speak out. Stop this drought. He was told to hide. So listen, your place of provision is also a place of protection. Verse 5. So Elijah did as the Lord told him, and he camped beside Cherith Brook, east of Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat each morning and evening, and he drank from the brook. So the right spiritual place for you is a place where you are being fed and protected. The right spiritual place is a place where you're being fed and protected. I want to read you from the book of Ezekiel, the prophet, about what God thinks about pastors, certainly pastors who don't care for the flock. Verse 8 of chapter 34. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a prey, my flock has become food for all the beasts of the field, for lack of a shepherd. And my shepherds did not search for my flock, but rather the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. I can tell from that tone of voice he's not happy. He expects the shepherds to protect the flock. Go after them, bring them back, just like David did. Protect them from the lion and the bear and whatever else. Protect them from the wolf in sheep's clothing. Thank you for that, brother. Appreciate it. Please come sit in the front next week. Need all the amens real close to me, okay? But he also wanted the shepherd to feed them. Do you remember when Jesus went to Peter after Jesus had denied him 3 times? And he said to him, do you love me? He didn't say to him, okay, fast for 30 days. If you love me, you love me? All right, 15 Hail Marys. Do you love me? Do you love me? Okay, all right, 30-mile run. Or if you love me, build a church. 3 times, he said, feed my sheep and feed my lambs. What was on Jesus' mind? If you're coming to serve him, if you're really getting your heart right with him, the paramount thing in Jesus' mind is take care of the sheep. Love the sheep, feed the sheep. Got it? Yeah. All right. So there it is. Now, you know, sometimes when you love somebody like your children, you have to do painful things to them. Take away their phone. You thought I was going to say something else. I know. But you might have to discipline them, and it could be painful. If you love them, you will develop their character by teaching them right and wrong. Right? And so it falls on the pastor's responsibility, on my shoulders, to do exactly the same spiritually to the congregation. Because we live in a world, in a culture, where everything is fluid. You don't know left from right, what's up and what's down, because there's no moral guidelines. They are so blurred. We don't know where they are, all right? And I mean, the colleges teach junk to the kids anyway. So, you know, by the time we find them and Jesus saves them, they honestly don't know anything. And that's actually good, because then we can start with a clean slate. But congregation needs to feel safe when they come to church. They need to feel protected by their pastor. And one of the ways they can feel protected by the pastor is this. If something is wrong, the pastor has the courage to stand up and say so. And if something's going on in the church, the pastor will say, this is what's happened, and unfortunately we've asked those people to leave. Now maybe you haven't been in a church where that happens, but it happens here at the Promise. Because it's critically important to me that we protect the flock. And we don't allow people that are hurting the flock or in any way damaging the flock to continue undetected. We expose it. And if you've been long enough, you know it's happened. Wave your hand if you know you've been here, it's happened. There you go. For those who haven't been here long enough. Okay. That's the reason there is a front door and a back door. In all churches. But after a while, the brook dried up, for there was no rainfall anywhere in the land. So circumstances have changed. When circumstances change for the worst, or for the worse, it calls for a new plan, right? Now, it's not like this plan wasn't working. How many of this plan was working? He had water. He had birds feeding him. It was working. He was hiding. He was safe. Wasn't that the plan wasn't working, but circumstances change. How many of you know your circumstances change? Yeah, they do, right? And everything is going hunky-dory, and then, bam! What just happened? What just happened? How come this has gone wrong? Well, here's the thing. Don't fall in love with your current plan. Because circumstances may call for a new plan. Right? And you need to be flexible enough to go. So the Lord says to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath, near the city of Sidon. I've instructed a widow there to feed you. Okay, now watch this. You think you had faith, or you needed faith, to go down to the brook and be fed by birds. In the middle of a drought, he's now being told that a widow is going to care for him. More faith. More faith. Where is she going to get anything to care for him? Right? Most widows, unless they're, you know, married to McDonald, have problems. That's Raymond McDonald, for those who, okay. It's a blank stare. Okay. Ronald. Ronald McDonald. What? Please include me in the joke. Is it at my expense again? Are you laughing at me? You laughing with me? Hallelujah. I knew that. Yay. All right. So, God has a new place of provision. And he has the right person waiting for Elijah. So listen to me carefully now. Listen. God has a new place for you. And he has the right people waiting for you. Hear me now? God has prepared a place, and he has a new place for you, and there's people waiting right there for you. In other words, what I'm saying is God has divine connections waiting for you that you don't know yet. That's going to bring about his plan, his purpose for you. Now, in my life, Cindy has been a divine connection. I mean, obviously, she's my child. However, when she got a job on the ships, and this is post the stroke, I took Jackie back into the ministry. I'm talking about months after the stroke. I got somebody to travel with me, and we traveled crisscrossing all over America and to Africa, different parts of Africa. We traveled preaching the gospel. We would leave home on Friday. We would fly maybe to Texas, arrive there Friday night. Saturday we'd settle in, get everything organized, preach Saturday night or Sunday morning twice, Sunday night and Monday fly home to San Diego. Be home for Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday and fly out again on Friday. And I took her in a wheelchair. And I did that for 6 or 9 months. And she never complained one time. But the pastor I had working with me said, I can't do this. This is too much. And then Jackie said, this is a little much for me too. So I had to stop. And how, you know, if you don't work, you run out of money. It's a strange phenomenon. And we ran out of money. Cindy was working on the ships. I said, Cindy, do you think you could get me a job on the ships? I'm 50 years old. I know nothing about anything else except ministry. And through her friend, her boss, Mark Bronson, got a job. Divine Connection, got a job on the ships. And as you know, we traveled over 100 countries. We earned huge, insane amount of money. But it was a time of spiritual healing for us, where we could just reunite, just Jackie and me. A time of physical, financial healing, when we were bust. And a time of enjoyment, where we could see all these foreign countries. How smart is God? How smart is that? To give me a job I know nothing about. Nothing. Faith. Faith. Okay, God, if you're doing this, I'm going to go. I'm going to trust you. But I had to do the practical. I had to learn the job, and I had to get up every morning. I actually had to go to the auctions. Yeah. So there was a practical part that I had to play, but God used Cindy as a divine connection, and you'd be surprised. Listen, you'd be surprised. You don't know how your children might be divine connections for you. True story, okay? True story. A lady in a church called Living Waters gets saved, beautifully saved. She invites her son, her son, her son, her son. Eventually her son says, okay, I'll go. Son doesn't want to go alone, so he asks Theo, my brother, to go with him. He goes, and they both get gloriously saved. So they work on me to come to the church. Don't want to go, don't want to go. 6 weeks later, I go, get gloriously saved. My wife, Jackie, gets, well, she wasn't then my wife, gets gloriously saved. We all end up in ministry. Theo now has 600 churches. We were raised up in South Africa, and one of the churches we raised up, one of the people that came through our church, went out, started 50 or 48 churches plus Bible schools all over the world. Another one came up and now has about 50 churches throughout South Africa. Literally hundreds of thousands of people got born again just through that. Never mind the other works that I could tell you about, all right? Because a mother invited her son to church. I would give the Lord a hand clap if I was a mother. She doesn't even know. She doesn't even know what kind of reward she's going to get to hit when she gets to heaven. I'm talking about maybe 1 million people have been born again through this. Multiple churches are functioning all over the world because a mother invited her son to go to church. She was the divine connection. Continue reading, verse 10. So he went to Zarephath, and as he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? And as she was going to get it, he called to her, bring me a bite of bread too. But she stopped in her tracks. What? I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. I have a handful of flour left in the jar, and a little cooking oil at the bottom of the jug. I was just going to gather a few sticks and cook my last meal. And then my son and I was going to die. Have you ever asked yourself this question? Did I miss God? Don't you think it would be appropriate right there for Elijah to ask himself this question? So who sent me? To what? Huh. I thought I used to hear God. Did I miss God? See, unfortunately, she didn't hear him clearly. Perhaps. Because she didn't think she had anything. So she thought. She looked at what she had and she thought, no, I don't have anything. Well, here's the reason. Here's the reason she didn't hear God clearly. Are you ready for this? One head nodding. Okay, I'll talk to you. Because when God said, you're going to provide for my prophet, she goes, yeah, well, can't be God. Her circumstances were such that she couldn't believe God was saying, I'm going to use you. You're going to be my source. I'm going to call. Can't be. That can't be God. See, so many of us look at our physical circumstances when God tells us we're going to do something. We go, yeah, not so much. Have you seen? Do you know? Have you, like, are you kidding with me? No. So maybe she did, but perhaps she didn't. So, didn't hear God. Well, maybe she did. Now, how does Elijah deal with the situation? And this is the question that I'm asking you. So God is changing your plans. Things are not working out. Well, they were different for a while, but he's changing your plans because things have got really bad. Got from bad to worse. And God says, I'm going to send you somewhere else, and I'm going to have somebody take care of you and spiritually and everything else. And you arrive there, and things are not what you thought. This is a huge setback. How does Elijah deal with it? Well, the first thing is this. He knew God's voice. And that was his strength. That was his comfort. He knew God had told him. See, so many of us, when God does speak, we ask this question, was that really God? It sounded like me talking to myself, you know? Like, I even recognized the accent. Yeah, no, I don't think, no. God wouldn't be asking me to do that, surely not. But no, you see, he knew God's voice. So what did he do? He stayed with God's plan. Here's a critical thing. Here's a critical thing. When you get into rough waters, you've got to have the voice or the word of God that's going to sustain you when you're going through those tough times. You've got to say, well, and God said it. God said it. That settles it. So I'm going to stand strong even though the circumstances look bad. However, what had happened, you see, was that God changed Elijah's role, all right, from being a passive receiver to an active participant. I let that hang out there for a while. While he's lying at the brook being fed, he's a passive receiver. Now God said, enough of you being a passive receiver. I want you involved in the fight. I'm going to give you some responsibilities. There's something I want you to do. So you're now going to become an active participant. You see, Christianity is not a spectator sport. This is not the NFL, where only 30 people are playing and 30,000 are screaming. It's a participating spiritual experience. You have to participate in Christianity in a spiritual experience. You can't sit on the outside and watch people being Christians. That doesn't make you a Christian. All right? So hear about it. So the new plan of God, the new plan of God for Elijah is this. I'm sending you to a divine connection. The divine connection and you are going to be mutually dependent upon each other. For my provision to work, you're both going to have to give to this relationship. It's not one receiving and one giving. You're both going to be involved in order to contribute this success. Say divine connection. See, that's what I believe about the Promised Church. That's what I believe. I believe that me and my pastoral staff, and you make a team. Yes. And we are mutually dependent upon one another. We both give to the situation, and that's what makes this provision at the promise happen. Yeah. Let me tell you another story, my first close. I like that so much. And this is for you, Pastor Joe, all the way in the Philippines. We love you, praying for you, and appreciate you watching our videos. So I'm working on the ships, year's 2004. I have a man working for me, he's from the Philippines, and he's my assistant. And one morning I'm in my office doing my prayer time and worshiping along with my tapes, drinking my coffee and singing and worshiping God. And he knocks at the door and he comes in and he says, "Are you a believer?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "So am I." And I tell him my story. Of course, it's a long story. But we're on a 14-day cruise. No, just kidding. It's a tough story, being in the ministry that long, then the stroke, and now I'm 50 years old, working on the bottom of ships just like Ben-Hur. This is me. This is me, trying to earn money for the family. Beat the row, you pastor, row! Okay. Got to make you feel sorry for me. You're not going to feel sorry for me living on a cruise liner, eating in the restaurants and traveling around the world. You're never going to feel sorry for me. Anyway, so he tells me his story. He and his brother were pastoring a church, a little church in the Philippines, a very poor area. And they were living literally on bread and rice. And eventually he says, "I'm going to go to work on the ships so I can send money back to my family and take care of our church," which he did. And that's what he was doing. He's an art assistant. And we got talking, and then he told me about the little church that they had and how they were living under the tents and all kinds of stuff. And I said to him, I said, "Brother Joe," I said, "so how much money would it take for you to build a church in the Philippines for your flock?" And he said, $8,000. I said, "All right, I'm going to commit by the end of this cruise," which was a 6-week cruise, "I will give you $8,000 for that church so you can go build it." He was amazed. That night we had gallery hour. Jackie joined us, and I introduced Jackie to Pastor Joe. And I told the story, and I said, "We're going to give $8,000. Now, with Jackie and me, I always say how much we're going to give. I never ask her. You've heard the story, because she always says, "Give it all." Remember that? Yeah. So now this is what we're going to do, $8,000. So Pastor Joe says, "No, Brother Henry," I said, $18,000. Say what? 18. So now I look at Jackie. She says, "Yeah, do it." So that's the wrong person right there. I fell in my own trap. $18,000. We're going to give you $18,000 in 6 weeks. By God's grace, we did. And we wrote the check and we gave it to them. And the money was sent to the Philippines. 04. 012. We get invited to go to preach in the Philippines. Cindy, myself, Jackie, we travel out. 2 weeks after my heart attack. Really. We go. We're invited by the International Businessmen, Full Gospel International, and we're the keynote speaker. So we go out there. And while we're there, I ask if I can visit this church. And I get taken to go and visit Pastor Joe's church in this very, very, very poor part of the major city of Manila. And it's storming and it's raining. It's on the third level. There's no windows in the place. You can't even begin to imagine. It took about 2 hours to get there. And we come up the stairs. There's no elevators. I walk into the room. And about 200 people jump up on their chairs and start screaming and clapping and going wild. And little children run up and start hugging me. And I'm going like, "What just happened? Who are you expecting?" I got treated like I was a rock star. Never, never in my wildest imaginations did I ever expect a welcome like that, because we gave some money to this poor fledgling church. And 8 years later, you would have thought Jesus had walked in. I was so moved, I couldn't even preach. I had to have people with me preach because I couldn't preach. I was crying so badly. I just sat there for 2 hours, just cried. I was overwhelmed with the gratitude that came to me. The gratitude was so much, and I thought unnecessary. But for them, it was a divine connection, was it not? Yeah. On the ships. And it all happened because the plan changed and the circumstances got worse. And I went out there and by faith stood the ground. And when the opportunity came, even in that situation, we gave again, went beyond. Can I finish the sermon? Are you okay?
Yes.
All right. It took a little long with that, but let me finish. Second closing. Here's God's new plan for Elijah in the new situation. Let's keep reading. Verse 13. So Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. And then use what's left over to prepare a meal for you, yourself, and your son." What? I'm leaving this church. The pastor asks the widow to give to him first. Where is the widows and orphans thing where you give to the widows and orphans first and you take the leftover? No. You leave the leftover for the widow? You're a bad man, Elijah. You're a bad man. I can't believe that you're doing this to this widow. So understand the situation now, okay? It can't possibly be. So he says, "For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, there will be always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends the rain and the crops grow again." Well, you see, here's the thing. The widow didn't understand her part in this divine connection. She had to be spoken into the role she was supposed to play. And had she not listened, both her and the prophet and her son would have died. It wasn't just up to Elijah. He brought the word of the Lord and gave her the word of the Lord and said, "This is what will happen, but you've got a part to play." "Yeah, but I have so little." But you have a part to play. And if we're going to have a divine provision supply from God, you got to do your part. And she's going, "No, I don't think so. You're taking the food out of my mouth. Who are you?" But Elijah had to talk her into her miracle provision that God had provided for her. You see, she had to release the little that she had to release God's miracle. Listen to these statements. Give your way out of the ghetto. Sow your way into God's supply. Part with your pittance to turn your poverty into plenty. Open your hand to enjoy open heaven. God can use the little you have, no matter how small. God can turn a miracle for you out of your meal. It can do a miracle. Don't hold on to that which God wants you to release. So she did. And Elijah said, and she and her Elijah, sorry, she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. And there was enough, there was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Being in the right place at the right time with the right people and following the right plan. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's have every eye closed.